7:41 is our time this morning, live on Swift 98 and The Spur with the SBI Radio Network. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon now joining us live over the phone. Good morning, Governor. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Duke, and it's a lot warmer here than it is there. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, we're sub-zero on this side of the state, but we have more snow in our snowpack than on the east side where you guys are at. So I guess we'll little give and take.
There you go. Send some of that snow our way. I got to tell you, we're a little bit dry on the eastern part.
Yeah. Well, you bring a shovel over, and you can have as much as you want. Governor Mark Gordon on the air with us this morning. Governor, let's start with the Jim Bridger Power Plant. This has been in the news the last couple of weeks, and kind of a little saga with the EPA and a ruling there, and some things that you did with your office. For those that aren't maybe familiar with what happened, give us the background here, Governor. Maybe walk us through what took place.
Well, yeah, it's been a long saga. Yeah, you know, there's this thing called the State Implementation Plan. It was supposed to meet visibility requirements in the Trump administration. We had worked through an agreement with EPA that would have been very efficient, would have met the standards that the visibility requirements had. It would have saved Rocky Mountain a lot of money. Everybody was happy. It was all correct and proper. And then the administration changed. The Biden administration reviewed it, said they couldn't approve it as is, which was kind of remarkable because we already had the agreement. And they refused to sign it. So then they told us that they were going to review it again. They ultimately denied it. I issued an EO saying that the power plant would remain open. That set us up for a legal challenge, which we will continue and we are going to continue to have this sort of struggle with EPA on this issue really right through the spring. It's been great to have Senator Glamis on board. This is an EPA analysis on their part that is just about closing down coal plants. It is not about meeting visibility requirements. That's exactly what I told Administrator Regan, and we'll continue to work on that issue, but the Biden administration is being pretty intransigent about it. What they have talked about doing is converting units 1 and 2 to natural gas. One of the issues that I've brought up with that is we have coal miners with good paying jobs. We've already met the requirements and we need to continue generating electricity for this great nation with coal.
You know, Governor, and there's so many ripple effects to this, as you mentioned, and of course, Jim Bridger with his location, and then what's going on with the Naughton Power Plant in Kemmer and the impacts there. And it really is something that would have much larger impacts than just outside of the power plant itself.
Oh, absolutely. And the point we keep making to this administration is that there is a solution at hand to climate. There is a solution at hand to figuring out what to do with carbon dioxide. And it is to double down on carbon capture and sequestration. There's a phenomenal resource in western Wyoming that can allow us to sequester carbon. It will be part of the future of any power generation scheme. Wyoming will do well. It's still a little ways away. But what really is frustrating about this is this administration seems to feel that their primary mission, not about climate, but their primary mission is about closing down coal. And we will continue to resist that with everything in our means.
So, Governor, you mentioned that this legal battle going through the spring. So in the interim, Jim Bridger continues operations as normal, right, until that legal battle wraps up?
It does. It does. But there, you know, it'd be nice to say, gosh, we've resolved this issue. We have an agreement and we're moving forward with that agreement, just as we had negotiated under the Trump administration. This puts a little bit more of a concern. We'll have to fight it out in the courts. But in the meantime, Rocky Mountain has said that they are engaged and they want to make sure that Jim Bridger continues to provide power for the nation.
Well, I'm Governor Mark Gordon on the air with us live this morning, all part of the weekday wake up. Governor, wanted to talk about the ARPA funds, these federal COVID relief funds coming to states all across the nation and Wyoming, and right now the state trying to decide what to do with those. What's the very latest on Wyoming's plans for these monies coming in?
Well, thanks for that, Duke. We submitted, if you remember, we had our budget. We wanted to make sure our budget stayed within the guidelines of what we've always done, so that it wasn't just this serendipitous bunch of ARPA funding and we figure out how to solve all our budget problems, because that would be fairly temporary. What we did is we presented our budget just as we would normally. We were able to use a substantial amount of those ARPA funds, and that's changing on almost a weekly basis. We've been able to set aside some of our normal general fund dollars, put them in savings, replace them with ARPA funds, and we've done as much as we can with that. That was part of the provision of the act, and that's about $450 to $500 million, somewhere in that neighborhood, that we have been able to replace existing revenues. And that's for things like corrections. It's for things like law enforcement and so on. What we have done with the remainder is and I think I've mentioned this before on the show, we talked about putting together an ARPA budget. We presented that ARPA budget to the Joint Appropriations Committee about a week and a half ago. And it, out of the $1.3 billion that were going to come our way, we had $4 billion of requests. So obviously the work that we did over the summer to kind of whittle that down to what we thought was a reasonable, approach, took a lot. The Joint Appropriations Committee is considering that. Now, what's important to remember is that we don't have to spend these monies as quickly as we did the CARES Act. What we have to do is we have to have a plan in place and funds committed. They all have to be expended by 2026, but by 2024, the plans have to be in place. As I've said right from the start, these are monies that are borrowed from our great-grandkids. I want to make sure that they have a lasting benefit to Wyoming and that they are truly transformational to our economy. So our proposal has gone through. The Joint Appropriations Committee is reviewing it. I have no doubt as we get into the legislative session, that much money sloshing around, there'll be a lot between here and the end of the session, but hopefully our proposal holds together as a pretty reasonable and sensible and forward-looking budget.
You know, Governor, you alluded to this, and you've made this part of the process from the beginning, wanting to invest in the future because, as you said, who's paying this back is going to be future generations. One thing that people are saying, and I'm sure you've heard this a lot, is, you know, why can't Wyoming just not take the money? And saying if this is just borrowed money from a federal deficit that's growing and growing and growing that our grandkids are going to have to pay back, can't Wyoming just say no? I'm sure there's a few more layers to it than that. What's your response to that when people say just don't take the money?
Well, if a person didn't take the money, it would go to use somewhere else. The money's already been appropriated. It's going to be spent. So regardless, we have the issue of the deficit, which is growing. There's no question about that. What I think other people don't understand is that our budget is so dependent on mineral revenues. And right now, we've had a kind of an uptick, both in oil and gas and in coal. And I think that hopefully will hang tough for a while. But, you know, we just talked about Bridger and how much this administration wants to shut down Bridger. We have real problems with bonding for coal mines because the markets are saying we don't want coal. There are a lot of things, a lot of headwinds facing the fossil fuel industry. We'll continue to fight for the fossil fuel industry, but there are a lot of forces arrayed against it. So for Wyoming to just not have this money, we would have to cut our budget dramatically. it would mean fewer and fewer services for Wyoming citizens. And what we've come to depend on in terms of snow removal, in terms of quality health care, in terms of ag infrastructure, all that sort of stuff, we would have to figure out different ways to pay for that, which would come back to raising fees, raising taxes, and that's something that I'm absolutely opposed to.
Governor Mark Gordon on the air with us this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Governor, have a few more minutes here. Wanted to talk about the vaccine mandates, the federal mandates, and the Supreme Court rulings last week. Of course, a Supreme Court siding with Wyoming and other states trying to oppose the business mandates, but still allowing those mandates to go through for healthcare workers. So let's start with the business ones first, Governor. And of course, that was a move you applauded from the Supreme Court when they said, nope, you can't force businesses to get the vaccines.
Well, absolutely. We were thrilled that the Supreme Court saw it our way. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, really overstepped their bounds. That's arguable. As an agency, they've already done that in the past. But here, that what they were trying to do is mandate people's lives, not the situation when you're on the job. That's the way the Supreme Court saw it. We were delighted that and felt very strong going into it that this was an area where we would prevail. And I'm really happy to see that we have. And we'll need to push back against legislative efforts in D.C. and others to try to redefine that, reanalyze it, reauthorize OSHA. It just is not a proper place for them to be. The CMS ruling, which dealt with health care, a little bit disappointing, absolutely, because we saw the issue very much the same way. The laws are a bit different on CMS, and of course the money is different. And you know, one of the problems is that golden rule: those who have the gold make the rules, and that was I think a little bit of what pervaded the Supreme Court's discussion this time. What was disappointing about the Supreme Court decision, really, for me, was that instead of discussing matters of law, as I think the Supreme Court is supposed to do by our Constitution, there was a notion, particularly among the liberal justices, that you know, somehow there were experts and there were others, and we were doing with this lawsuit was somehow flying in the face of experts. And I just don't know if anybody has really figured out exactly what to do with COVID yet. So it's kind of silly, at least in my mind, to have the court opining on this when really what they should be doing is sticking with the law.
So is there anything else that can be done, or is that ruling kind of it, from a state standpoint, or even from a, you know, one of the big concerns was our local volunteer response groups, EMTs, anything that a EMT group could do to push back against this at this point?
Well, the Supreme Court is kind of the last stop. We'll continue to work on it. It's a little bit unclear where EMS, Emergency Medical Services, are going to fall out on this. This really has much more to do with classic hospital and clinic kinds of locations. So we're hopeful that we can continue to help define that. You know, we've still got a case that we've felt pretty good about with Head Start and others. Let me be clear, Duke. In my case and the First Lady's case, we've both taken the vaccine, but we did that willingly. We don't think the government has a role here, and we'll continue to do everything we can to say, look, personal choice is absolutely paramount, and America was built on citizens who participated, not citizens who were told to do what they were supposed to do by the government.
Well, Governor, certainly appreciate your time. One more final question here in just the last couple minutes we have. I spoke with the Wyoming Game and Fish and their commissioner recently, and grizzly bear conversation came back up, the greater Yellowstone grizzly bear, and it sounds like the state has officially gone through the process to try and get the grizzly delisted. and management returned back to the state, correct?
That is correct. I signed that petition early last week. We sent it, and we feel our science is bomb-proof. Of course, it's been delisted twice before, once under the Obama administration and once under the Trump administration. In both cases, it ended up in the Ninth Circuit Court, where it was denied. What's, I think, a little bit better about this approach, we've really talked about it as a Wyoming population. The Yellowstone bears are primarily in Wyoming. Our population estimates have grown well beyond what was established as a viable population and so on. We've got bears that are way beyond what's the designated area. And so we feel that if there is a legal challenge that's brought on it, it'll be brought in a different circuit. We feel fairly optimistic about both our science and our legal prospects as we go forward.
So timeline on this then, Governor, do you know how long it will take for a decision to be made?
It'll take a couple of months, we anticipate. There's a lot of noise out there in wildlife management. Idaho and Montana both have done new rules for wolves. In our case, we have a good wolf plan. It's working. Everybody admits it's working. There's no kind of change that we anticipate there. But what Idaho and Montana have done has brought a little bit of a spotlight to this region, both on the wolf and on bear. So we're hopeful that we can get through this without raising too many alarm bells and actually just doing what's best for Wyoming wildlife and our people.
That's Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon with us live on the air this morning. Governor, as always, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Duke, and have a good day.
You as well. It's all part of the weekday wake-up this morning on the SVI Radio Network.